I said, UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying overhead. That gave me the dubious distinction of being the first person of cabinet rank in the G8 group of countries to say so unequivocally. Since then, I've learned a lot from many sources, including a number of the fantastic witnesses that we have heard these last 4 days. They're so outstanding, I was just really blown away with them, the amount of information that was available. And I appreciate every single one of them. But because I'm not a ufologist, I'm a politician, there are only a few things that I want to add in that particular realm. First is that about in the 1960s sometime, there was a flotilla of UFOs headed south that crossed into NATO territory in Europe. And the commander-in-chief of the Supreme Allied headquarters in Europe was naturally very shaken. Fortunately, or maybe divine providence, before the panic button was pushed, the flotilla turned around and headed back north. Obviously, they had thought maybe they were Russian and they were very concerned about it. Anyway, an investigation was launched into this whole subject, and a document was prepared which concluded that at least 4 species had been visiting Earth for thousands of years. And this is my own view at this stage as well. So, except for that, there are just a couple of things that we've talked about that I'd like to refer to. And one was that we were referring to them as they until this morning when Linda Moulton Howe, I think she was the first one, actually named 3 different species. I have brought my latest book called Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species, as an aide memoir, and I name 5 different species here. I'm aware of more now. As a matter of fact, I saw a document just a few days ago that mentioned 20, and I think you, Mr. Chairman, were interested in some of the places they might come from, and I have in here Zeta Reticuli, R-E-T-I-C-U-L-I, Reticuli, the Pleiades, Orion, Andromeda, and the Altair star systems. So I don't think we can any more refer them to them as they because they're not an amorphous mass. They are different species and consequently may have different agendas. I don't think we can say that they all have the same agenda any more than we could say that the United States, China, and Russia had the same agenda. Our real interests may be very similar, but as of now, our perceived interests are still quite far apart. One more observation before I begin what I want to say, and that is that we spent quite a bit of time talking about the 66-year-old cadavers. And I was glad to have Linda this morning finally say that there are live ETs on Earth at this present time. And at least 2 of them probably working with the United States government. The other species that I learned about not too long ago was called the Tall Whites. And this is when Paula Harris broke the story just a few years ago. And through her good offices, I had the chance to talk for about 3 hours with former Airman Charles Hall and listen to this absolutely fascinating story of how he was working with, first of all, he was scared out of his skin, but after that, when he got to know them, how he was working with, and finally, they became to trust each other and have a good working relationship with the Tall Whites at the gunnery range at Indian Springs in Nevada. And these tall whites were living on United States Air Force property and working in cooperation with the United States Air Force and sharing technology with them. He wrote a book, incidentally, called Millennial Hospitality. There are four different versions, but Paula says that Millennial Hospitality, number two, is the best. I think that's the one I read, and it's a very interesting read if you want to sort of get inside the problem of what it's like to bump into these people floating across the terrain in the desert. Well, enough on that for now. My interest is in full disclosure. And my only caveat is I think probably I would say 95 to 98% full disclosure. I know of one or two things that I'm not sure should be in the public domain, at least yet. They will be someday, I'm sure, but not maybe immediately. But just as children survive the idea of the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus when they become adult, I think that taxpaying citizens are quite capable of accepting the new and broader reality that we live in a cosmos teeming with life of various sorts. The fact that some other civilizations are more advanced than we are may be humbling, but that could be a necessary step in our survival. And finally, they need the technology for clean energy. It exists, and it's being kept secret by the same vested interests who control our destiny. Who are these vested interests, and what are they up to? Well, Senator, you were talking about a military junta. In my opinion, that is true, but I have broadened and deepened the definition to cabal, and the cabal comprises members of the Three Sisters, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, the International Banking Cartel, the Oil Cartel, members of various intelligence organizations, and select members of the military junta, who together have become a shadow government of not only the United States, but of much of the Western world. So anyway, you hear what Mr. Rockefeller said, and so there you have it. The aim of the game is a world government comprising members of the cabal who are elected by no one and accountable to no one. And according to Mr. Rockefeller, the plan is well advanced. Does this help you to understand why our civil rights are being taken away from us? I say us, because all of the freedoms won by the millions of men and women who fought and died in World War II are being flushed unceremoniously down the drain. This will require a paradigm shift in American attitudes. It involves a de facto renunciation of the plan for a new American energy and the adoption of a pledge of cooperation with all humankind to build the kind of world which we are collectively capable of. Young people everywhere need to be challenged by a noble cause and lead the way in the transformation to the new reality that we have to live in harmony with our celestial neighbors as well as seeking peace on earth. In a word, we have to become spiritual beings and practice the one tenet that the world's major religions have in common, and that is the golden rule. And this field too, and I just want to read one paragraph in this at this time, if you'll allow me, Mr. Chair.
Well, we will allow that, but there's only about 30 seconds, so I hope you can conclude
I'll read fast.
Thank you.
This is from the late Dr. John Mack, an American secular Jewish psychiatrist who became a world leader in interviewing abductees, or experiencers, as he called them, came to this conclusion in a startling book, Passport to the Cosmos. Quote, although the aliens are not themselves gods, their behavior is sometimes anything but godlike. Abductees consistently report that the beings seem closer to the Godhead than we are, acting as messengers, guardian spirits, or angels, intermediaries between us and the divine source. Thank you.
Thank you very much.